Red Film Radio.
Red Film Radio.
Interview.
Interview.
Joining us at this time is film critic, film historian, and silent cinema expert, Pamela Hutchinson. Pamela, welcome to the Big Fret Tuesday.
Hello, thanks for having me.
It's a real pleasure to talk with you. I'm a huge silent film fan, so that's pretty much what we're going to be talking about over the course of the next 15 minutes or so. But especially we'll be speaking about the upcoming BFI retrospective on the vibrant career of Danish star of silent cinema, Asta Nielsen, which will take place at London's BFI South Bank from the 3rd of February to the 15th of March. But first, because this is the first time that we talk, I kind of wanted to begin our conversation with an icebreaker question and ask you about silent cinema. Since you also run the Silent London website and, you know, you're a silent film scholar. So do you remember when it was that you became interested in silent film?
Do you know what? I became interested in silent film when I was a teenager, but it was a bit sort of faltering. I was a big fan of film. But you know, when you become interested in something broad, like film or literature, you know you've got to find that particular area, that particular bit that's going to speak to you. And I think the first time I saw a silent film, I was baffled and flabbergasted and fascinated and intrigued. And then the second time, even more so. And I just started realising that there was more mystery here and more that intrigued me than anything else that I was watching. And from that point on, I just sought out every silent film I could see. And there have been a lot to see.
Right, yeah. So what were the first silent films, early silent films that really got you into it?
Well, the first silent film I actually ever saw is a sort of rather sort of shocking art film called Un Chien Andalou, the Dali and Buñuel film. I watched that in a film studies class. But then I thought, right, I'm going to go back and I'm going to see everything. So I went back and I watched, you know, all the things that were on the sort of top 10 great silent films, Battleship Potemkin, Nosferatu. But I was interested in realising that there was more than just a list of classics, you know, that were fragments of films. There were films featuring stars that we haven't heard about anymore. And there were lots of sort of lost byways and little paths to explore in silent cinema. And that's what really, really caught my attention.
And obviously, you know, when we talk about silent film, then we also bring up the issue or the challenges of preserving them and how just important it is. But at the same time, how sort of vulnerable an area of the film industry at large it is, that of film preservation. So having said that, where do you think silent film fits into today's filmic landscape? You know, in terms of the audience interest, but also in terms of, you know, the way that it's being looked after by institutions?
Well, I think we are really lucky at the moment. Films are being found, films are being restored. There are lots of festivals, the festival circuit these days, and actually just the exhibition circuit, especially in sort of some of the bigger cities, is great. You can go and see silent film with live music. I think that silent film has got sort of two key sort of places, key ways that it intersects with sort of modern film culture. I think that a lot of people really appreciate seeing something that has that real live quality. So when you watch a silent film, particularly if it's projected on film and with live music, it's something special. I also think that it's interesting. We look at a lot of modern films being made and how many new films are being made black and white or experimenting with moments of silence or different Academy ratio frames. It does seem like a lot of people are beginning to pull back from the sort of conventions of cinema and think, what could I explore? You have a film like The Lighthouse, which pretty much looks like a silent film, but with dialogue. And you have all kinds of experiments with film form, and people are sort of going back and looking at all these different points in film history that they can copy from or borrow from, rather, be inspired from. So I think that people are looking back to silent film increasingly, actually.
Yeah, I agree. We talked about some of the films that kind of got you into silent film, but if you were to kind of speak with someone who may have an interest in it but doesn't know where to begin, what would be your recommendations?
Ooh, that's such a great question. I mean, obviously, I have to say Asta Nielsen films. One of the things I always say to people is, what kind of films do you like? Because if you love comedy, believe me, I have a whole list for you. I'm going to start you off with Buster Keaton's 1 Week, and then you're going to come back and knock on my door and want more. That's it, I can guarantee. But, you know, if someone thinks that silent film is lacking in nuance, if they think that it's not sort of for adults, if they think of it as just sort of fun slapstick, then you have to show them Dreyer's Passion of Joan of Arc, you know, one of the great tragedies shot entirely in close-ups. And because it just shows you that the silent film, just like Aston Nielsen films, they work because we are so intimately familiar with the sort of landscape of the human face, and we read human faces so well, and that's what their power is. So I would proceed from those two angles.
Now, given the times that we live in, Pamela, we should probably specify to avoid misunderstandings, you know, will the programme consist of in-person physical screenings and events? Will they be presented digitally? A bit of both? You know, what's the situation there?
As far as I'm aware, we're going ahead in venue with live musicians, with introductions in-house. I think some of the introductions may be pre-recorded, but most of them are going to be live. We're having a lecture and panel discussion to open the event. So it's all going to be taking place in BFI South Bank.
Now, before we get into the programme, simple question, who was Aston Nielsen?
Aston Nielsen was probably the greatest actress of the silent era. And that sounds a little bit like I'm exaggerating to boost the season, but it's true. She was acclaimed as the greatest actress of the silent era. She was one of the very first international film stars. She had as close as you can get to an overnight success with her first film in 1910. She absolutely mesmerised the world. Apart from America, where people didn't get to see too many of her films, worldwide, she was adored and admired for her fantastically compelling, emotive screen acting. She had a particular power over audiences because of the way that she sort of reinvented what screen acting could be. And her close-ups told 1,000 words, basically. She was born in poverty in Copenhagen, so she sort of came up the hard way. And when she had this big break in film, she then devoted herself to basically perfecting the art of film acting and making the best film she could. And she really left a remarkable body of work. She's one of those people, sadly, who didn't continue making films, really, in the sound era. And those are the people who we so often forget about. So as much as I've said that she was so popular, she doesn't have the name recognition of many of the other silent stars.
Right. Greta Garbo, Gloria Swanson are some of the names that come to mind. I understand the retrospective is presented in partnership with the Danish Film Institute. I wanted to kind of name them because I think, you know, when you talk about film preservation, their work is just praiseworthy, I think, as is the BFI's work, of course. And I also wanted to ask you kind of a similar question to the one I asked you before about silent film in general. But, you know, given the fact that this is a celebration of Aston Nielsen, though, why do you feel it's important to discover or indeed rediscover her works today? Is there anything that makes it particularly contemporary?
Oh, I mean, Aston Nielsen was nothing if not a modern woman. The characters that she played on screen were often very modern women, shall we say, you know, the kind of women who went out and played by their own rules. And that's something that she sort of acted out in her own life too. She took charge of the work that she did on film, and she controlled everything, and she was pretty much a genius when it came to the sort of nascent art form of film. But also the roles that she plays are really quite fascinating. And I think a lot of people are drawn to Aston Nielsen's roles these days because of the power of the acting, as I say, but because of this peculiar kind of androgyny that she really enjoyed playing with. In comedy films like The ABC of Love, where she sort of dresses up as a man to show her boyfriend how to be more manly, all the way through to when she played Hamlet. And she did play Hamlet, although she played Hamlet as a woman in male drag. She's constantly sort of playing with ideas about gender and gender roles and what's expected of women, and she often is this sort of wonderfully disruptive presence on screen that I think people might be surprised by, but will definitely enjoy looking at in 2022.
Can you tell me a little bit more about the films that will be screened as part of this retrospective?
Well, we're starting with that film that I told you was the overnight success, and sometimes people's first film, you know, is something or nothing. But this film, The Abyss, or it's often called The Woman Always Pays, is really quite a remarkable film in the way that it sets out what you're going to expect from Asta Nielsen. It's a film about a woman caught in a love triangle. And when I say she's caught in a love triangle, there's a real sense of being in a sort of sexual thrall. This is quite a deep and dirty kind of love triangle. And it culminates in this fantastic sequence in which Asta Nielsen dances around her lover with a rope and ties him up. It caused a sensation. I have to say, when you watch that clip now, you think, how do they get away with that in 1910? So we're starting with that, and then we go on, we show some more of her melodramas, more in that vein. So we've got things like The Decline, where she plays an aging woman forsaken by her lover, and it's really very moving. And we have the films that she made are sort of inspired or based on great literature. So she plays Lulu in Erdgeist, which is the Frank Wedekind Pandora's Box plays. And she even plays a character sort of based on Crime and Punishment. We do get her Hamlet as well. And we get to see lots of her comedy. So, you know, because she had this remarkable control of her performance, even though tragedy, from a young age, tragedy was everything she wanted to do, she was a remarkable comedy actor. So if you see her in films like Zapata's Gang, where she plays a film star, she often plays a film star, or an actress, or an opera singer, or some kind of performer, because she's playing on her own fame, who gets caught up with a bunch of bandits while filming a film, and, you know, gets into all kinds of scrapes. And she's so remarkably physically committed to everything that she does that you're in stitches, and you sort of have this feeling at the back of your head that you're meant to be watching an Asta Nielsen film, and you thought maybe it was meant to be serious. But so yeah, we're showing a real selection of her stuff. We're showing the one talkie that she made, Impossible Love, in 1932, which she was not pleased with, but it really holds up. It's a German film because she made most of her films in Germany.
Yeah, and actually I wanted to ask you about, because, you know, we always read and hear about the problems that, you know, film stars encountered in that transition, that period, the transition from silent to sound. Did Asta Nielsen face these types of challenges? Because she really didn't make much after the early 30s, right?
No, I mean, she made one sound film and that's it. So she had actually, when she's her reach into acting had been through the fact that she had this voice, it was actually a very deep voice. So she was very worried about her voice generally. She did a lot of silent performances, but her sort of disillusionment with the film industry in general in the late 20s meant that she was very uncertain about going to sound. And when she saw some of the early sound films that were made, of course, we all know all the great ones like The Blue Angel, but there were a lot of bad early sound films made in that transition. She looked at it and thought, I'm not going to drop my standards. This is too bad. But she did make this one film, Impossible Love, and she was slightly disappointed with it, but her voice and her performance in it is excellent. Of course, the thing that happens if you're working in the German film industry in the 1930s is obviously that the Nazi regime takes over, and you have to basically join the Nazi party to continue working in the film industry after that point. And that was clearly something that Asta Nielsen was not going to do.
And then another film that I was pretty curious about is one that I didn't know that existed from 1968. It's a documentary that she directed, and it's a self-titled documentary too, right?
Yes, and of course what happened is a documentary filmmaker approached her and said, can I make a documentary about you? And she said, well, yes, of course, but I have writer approval. So he made the film, and she didn't like it, so she did it herself. So that's why it is, and it features her reminiscing over her career, and it's really quite touching. You'll get to see her talking about her life and her work, and shedding her final tear for the screen.
Wonderful. Well, again, just remind our listeners that the retrospective that will take place at the BFI South Bank is called In the Eyes of a Silent Star, the films of Asta Nielsen. And it'll take place from the 3rd of February to the 15th of March. I think, you know, just looking at the title there, you know, there's nothing like watching films, silent films theatrically, really. Pamela, thank you very much for joining us and talking with us about it. Thanks a lot.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.